Demonic presence at unsafe levels. Lockdown in effect.
Hello and welcome back again to the PopZara podcast. This is your host, Nathan Evans. That means I'm the managing editor of the PopZara.com website. That is website, not magazine, despite what you may have heard, because magazines make money. And today the subject will be the literal resurrection of one of gaming's most classic franchises, and that would be id Software's Doom. Recently, a re-released reboot, remake, re-whatever on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC, Doom has had its share of upsides, downsides, left sides, and controversy. And here to talk about this real resurrection is my esteemed host and colleague, Corey Gallagher. Corey, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's Corey Gallagher, the future managing editor of PopZara.com.
And I pronounced your name correctly this time.
You did. That's a good first step.
Yeah, well, we're going to mispronounce a lot of things, so take that with a grain of salt. So, Corey, we're talking about Doom, which was released last week on Friday the 13th. That's May, Friday the 13th, 2016, as the reboot, remake, whatever, of the classic 1993 Doom,
yep.
Which, of course, was released unceremoniously to shareware, file sharing, upside, downside, on what was considered the PC gaming market back in the days before Windows 95. Do you remember those days?
I was pretty young at the time, but vaguely, I can tell you one thing, there weren't any pre-order bonuses back then.
Well, there was a pre-order bonus. You got a game.
Yeah, you got the first episode of Doom. I guess that's true.
Now, isn't that funny, though? If we think about this, we think about levels, we think about bonus levels, we think about introductory levels, and like you said, we think about betas. Well, let's talk about the beginnings of Doom for a little bit, because I believe it was released as a spiritual successor to id Software's first quote-unquote game, of course, the famous Wolfenstein 3D. The one where you could kill a robotic Hitler.
Yep.
Now, the game was not released as a game. You could not go to a store and buy Doom back in 1993. It was a shareware game. That means it was distributed on floppy disks. If you don't know what a floppy disk is, look it up, because I'm not telling you. Floppy disks, even the internet, you could download the game.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? You could download a level. That is nuts. That will never catch on. Never. Kids, we're talking 23 years ago. 23 years ago. And we're still debating whether or not digital distribution can work. So in many ways, Doom is remembered as a first-person shooter. That means you take a gun and you run around in a 3D virtualized environment and you blow up lots of creatures from hell, from everything. And if you're Wolfenstein, that means, well, robotic Hitler.
Yep.
But Doom was different. Now, what is your first memory of the original Doom? Let's go back a little bit and talk about memory. So cue the memory music. What is your first exposure to Doom?
Is the memory music supposed to be Ricky Martin's Livin' La Vida Loca?
No, but if it is, I wouldn't complain.
So my first memories of Doom. I'm going to be honest. Back when I was a kid, I wasn't quite as PC heavy as I am now. So my first time with Doom was playing on the Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo, yes. And the Super Nintendo version, which was technologically probably impossible, but they made it happen.
I believe they used the Super FX chip like Star Fox did, didn't it?
I think so. I remember my first exposure to Doom was not the Super Nintendo version, but it's interesting because I came to the Super Nintendo version because of a device for the Genesis and Super Nintendo called X-Band. And
I remember that thing. Nobody had one of those.
I had one of those. And the Super Nintendo allowed people to actually gasp, play Doom on the Super Nintendo. And I will tell you one thing, it was awful. It was awful. But what did you have in 1995 that you're playing online on a Super Nintendo?
You had Doom. I guess you'd have Street Fighter II.
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart, I suppose. That's the ones that spring to mind.
Well, let's go back a little bit, because like most of you, I could not afford a PC back in 1993. In fact, I remember calling places like Babbage's and Software Etc. and other computer stores and saying, I want to buy a PC, I want to buy a PC. And they would say, well, do you want a 386 or do you want a 486? And my only requirement was, will it play Doom? Oh yeah, it'll play Doom. Like, that is not a good reason to buy a computer. But it was exactly the same reason that people did 10 years later, which I'll get into. But Corey, I want to go back a little bit. I want to go back to the Q Livin' La Vida Loca, but I want to go back to 1996. 1996, the launch of the PlayStation. I'm sorry, the Nintendo 64,
sure.
Which followed the, what was it, 1995 launch of the PlayStation? Was it 1995 in America?
95, I believe it was.
Well, let's go back, because the original Doom, or should we say Doom Remastered, was a launch title for the PlayStation. It was also a launch title for the Nintendo 64. And I have very good memories with a very good friend of playing Doom, not online, but with a PlayStation Link cable that linked two PlayStations together with two TVs. Trust me, kid, you do not want to do this. Although it was a precursor to these LAN parties and I think Evo. But you could play Doom multiplayer with someone on two PlayStations. What craziness. What craziness.
What?
Yes, I know. Crazy. And you know what? It was amazing. I actually drilled holes in my mom's wall. Sorry, Mom. To put the PlayStation Link cable.
You might say I drilled holes in your mom's wall, too. Oh.
No, happy Mother's Day. So, but anyway, we drilled holes in the wall, and we got little little radios for Radio Shack, and we simulated actually being quote-unquote online, and it was fantastic. And it was so much fun. And then, to be a little nerdy, I actually bought the Sega 32X.
Well, oh, yeah, my God.
I bought it. I
you
was one
poor
of them.
Thing.
I was one of those people.
I think Doom was the only good game to come out in that thing.
It was a good game. It was a scaled-back game. There was a Star Wars arcade. There was a few things on the 32X. None of it made it worth it. I believe Doom also came on the 3DO, but you'll have to don't quote me on that. Basically, my point is, Corey, Doom was the Angry Birds of its time.
Yep.
Hey, you got a new game console. We'll put Doom on there. And the reason this is so interesting is because back in the 90s, back in 1996, if you had a new game console, you could play Doom or some version of it. It wasn't a hard game to port. It was not bleeding edge.
Yep.
And eventually, porting Doom over to your platform became sort of a status symbol. I remember there was they promoted Doom with Windows 95 with Bill Gates. Doom was everywhere. And the controversy about playing a space marine in hell, it was never as controversial as people might make it out to be. Because at the end of the day, Doom was a video game based around very core concepts about level progression and about accomplishment. And it was fun, and it was funny, and no one really took it any seriously more than that because it was ridiculously over the top. But then let's go back to the next decade. Let's cue Third Eye Blind and all that crappy 90s music.
How's it gonna be?
Yeah, well, get away from that ledge. Let's go back to 1990. I'm sorry, 2000. Let's go to 2004. Tell me what happened in 2004 with Doom.
In 2004, they released Doom 3 for the PC, the Xbox, original Xbox, and I don't think it came out in the PS2 though.
Well, you're a little wrong on your timing, and I want to bring this up because they did eventually release it on the Xbox, but they didn't release it on the Xbox for a little bit because you're a PC gamer now. I know you all he talks about, folks, is PC. I love PC games. I'd marry PC games. I got a new video card. I interface with my PC every night.
Beep boop.
You are obsessed.
I am because it's way better than any console.
It's way better than any console at the end of the day, once you've tinkered, once you've screwed it, once you've done everything that needs to do.
And let's admit, like, not everybody's smart enough to do that stuff. I am because I'm amazing. Most of you guys probably
derp,
not.
Derp, derp. I got 4,000 frames on what game? Doesn't matter. I got 4,000 frames. No, but let's go back to 2004 because 2004 saw the release of two very important games, and they're important for two reasons. One, gameplay-wise, they were very innovative. They were graphically impressive. But also, Corey, I hate to say this, these two games helped bring down the PC gaming market.
Uh-oh, which ones were those?
This would be, of course, Doom 3, the game you mentioned,
yep,
which was a drastically rebooted version that was bleeding edge.
Yeah.
And then there was Half-Life 2.
Oh, that one, that little game. Yeah, it's kind of like an indie, some kind of indie crap.
Yeah,
you know,
some indie game that
focused.
Downloaded on apps.
And Walking Simulator. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, well, the end of the franchise, effectively.
Yep.
For better or for worse. No, but if you wanted to play Doom 3 and if you wanted to play Half-Life 2, you couldn't play it on your PC. Couldn't do it. You had to buy a new PC. You had to upgrade your PC. You had to spend a lot of cash to make your PC friendly for Doom. And most people couldn't do this.
That's true. I mean, Doom 3 ran very poorly at first. You had to have some very nice hardware to make that thing do anything.
Yes, you have to have a NASA-quality computer.
Yep.
And I would say the trifecta that effectively killed the proprietary PC gaming experience forever and forever reduced it to Facebook and World of Warcraft and StarCraft would be Crysis, which would come later. But
true.
The fact is you could not play Doom on your computer. And if you wanted to play it, you were A, jealous. B, you had to become a super criminal and steal NASA's computers. Or you had to just wait. And eventually came the game that you mentioned, which was Doom on the Xbox, the original Xbox.
Right.
Now, by all accounts, that game would have been impossible to play on the Xbox. It just technologically wasn't ready. But yet they did it. And that same friend that I told you about back in the days when we drilled holes through walls, we eventually played through Doom 3 on the Xbox One. On the Xbox One, the original Xbox, on Xbox Live, and we had a blast.
Sure.
But the problem is, and I think a lot of people would realize this, and we're getting to the new version, is that I don't think for all intents and purposes Doom 3 was technically very much a Doom game. It was a very good first-person shooter, and it had problems that were eventually fixed. I think we both agree to that. Eventually that game became something of an impressive game, but it wasn't quite the Doom experience the original Doom was. Sure. What's your experience with Doom 3?
I'm going to be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of it. It doesn't really feel like Doom. It has the monsters, it has the weapons, but in the end, it's a survival horror game, more so than a Doom-style game. What we remember from Doom is you've got weapons, there are monsters, but you can kill them, and in the end, you're the biggest badass out there. Mm-hmm. Doom 3, there's a lot of darkness, a lot of monsters hiding in closets. Yeah, cinematics, it's more story-focused. It's not a bad game, it doesn't feel like Doom.
No, it doesn't. And I think there's an opening level in Doom 3 that reminds us of this, and it sort of chides us. You remember, you could find that arcade game, and I think it was Super Turkey Puncher 4 or whatever?
Yeah, and all you do is push the button, and it would punch the turkey until it exploded and just repeat. It was like it was making fun of you for not wanting this cinematic experience in your game.
Exactly. And I think when you look at this, you sort of chuckle and say, well, that's funny. But again, I want to go back to it, because the original Doom, for all its monster punching and everything, was very funny. It was a funny game.
Right.
And even in the instruction manual, which was basically you punched your boss and you were sent to
yeah,
Mars for punishment.
Yeah, your boss had like shot some civilians, so you punched him and got sent off to Mars, where it's thought that you would die alone and doing this crappy job, and then, oh no, demons, now you're the hero of the galaxy, yada yada.
Yes, exactly. And to some extent, I want to go back to Super Mario. It's the people that – there are some people out there that complain that there's no story in Super Mario. Well, there is. You want a cake, and you're going to jump to get it.
Pretty much.
And that was Doom. So to speak. There was no cinematics.
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. A lot of what we see today, and even back then, back in the days of Doom 3, a lot of what we see with the bigger focus on story in games is because it's much harder to make a good game than it is to make a passable story. Nobody really expects a great story from a video game. I would argue that's never been a video game written at a level higher than a Saturday morning cartoon. That's way easier than putting together a really highly balanced, highly tweaked gaming experience.
Yes, and I would agree with you, and I would add to that that the original Doom was almost a perfect formula.
Right.
It was again, I call it the Angry Birds of its day, but it really was. In fact, it was to such a degree that people who designed levels for the original Doom franchise went on to their own great careers.
Yeah, well,
just
I mean,
level at it. Like was it American McGee?
American McGee did Quake, I believe.
He did Quake, but he got his start doing levels for Doom.
Sure. I mean, a lot of people did back in the day. Maybe less so these days. I mean, people still make watts for Doom.
Yes, they do. And going back to this for a second, I didn't want to miss the hagiography real quick, but we failed to mention Quake, which was designed as a 3D interpretation of Doom, which would go on to become its own phenomenon, and would go on to become its own launch title for several consoles to varying degrees of success.
And then go on to make its own story-focused spin-off in Quake 4, which did incredibly poorly.
Yes, exactly. And we're going to get to Doom about the Doom 2016. I hate this naming mechanism, by the way, of rebooting by rebooting the title.
Right.
We'll just call it Doom 2016. How's that? Or Doom 16.
D-O-4-M.
FTW, people. FTW.
Dome.
But getting back to this. You couldn't play Doom 3. Eventually, it was squeezed on the Xbox. And that, my friend, is it. That is what has defined the modern gaming the gaming binary when it comes to PC and console.
Sure.
Was that if you wanted to play Doom, you could play it on a console. And I think that lessons learned from Half-Life in the original Doom 3 has become the template. From every game that a developer would spend multi-million dollars to play, you could play it on a console. I mean, simply being the level of consoles have got to the point where we're not complaining anymore. And I think, not to make this argument fine, but the console experience is typically a little smoother and typically a little better out of the box, which I don't think even you, as a PC-centric zealot, would argue with that.
I mean, anything you say about consoles, there is no argument that consoles have gradually gotten better and better and better. You have these weird people who complain about how consoles, for instance, update constantly. They update your games constantly. They update their system software constantly. They're complaining about the fact that games can be released and have bugs fixed now. I'm not seeing the issue with that, but some people get upset about it.
No, I think I agree with you. I think that's a needless complaint. But
you know,
I'm
willing to put in my game and step away for half an hour and take a shower or make dinner or whatever while it patches. That's fine with me. It's not a big deal.
I think the dark side to that, I think we have to agree, is that it's also given incentive for lazy developers to release incomplete games.
Sure, but back in the day, they still did that, and the only difference is that they couldn't fix them after the fact. You still got completely horrible incomplete games. Doom 3 was laden with bugs when it came out. Doom 2 was laden with bugs when it came out. Quake was really laden with bugs when it came out.
Hey, again, let's go back to what we just talked about. Doom was never released as a game. It was released piecemeal, which you had to download. So if we're going back to the original complaint, there was no original complaint. It was always incomplete. But Doom 2 was a commercial product. It was really well received. It was a much more polished product, and you could go and you could buy the whole thing. And eventually, when the game came to the video game consoles, it was a complete experience. And because of no updating, you were stuck with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I will go to my death in saying that console games typically offer a better experience simply because – well, back in the day, simply because, Corey, is that they tend to be more complete. They tend to be more thoroughly checked. The American McGee we're talking about actually started his career as a game tester. They don't really have game testers the way they used to.
They're called consumers.
Well, that's the point, is that back in the day, they would house these poor souls in giant warehouses like Foxconn and just make them play games ad infinitum. I've met a lot of my old writing colleagues back in the day who started as this, and they say, oh, I play games for a living. No, you play broken games for a living. It's the opposite of fun.
So wait, you're telling me that back in the day when you played an early access game, they paid you to do it?
No, there was no early access. You played a game that was incomplete. You played it for hours and hours and hours, probably fueled by caffeine and drugs. And you had to make notations on every bug. And eventually, after months of this crap, your stable of colleagues would report back and these bugs would get fixed. And the result was typically a better made game.
Sure.
But it was a lot more expensive.
Right.
And now we have betas, which brings us to 2016, because Doom 2016 was released not as a demo, but as a beta.
It was. And the interesting thing about the beta for Doom 2016 is that it only showcased the multiplayer. And if you guys read popzara.com, which of course you do because I'm on it, I wrote a preview of the beta for Doom's multiplayer. And like it is now, it's not great. But you should still buy Doom.
Yes. Yeah, so now, all that crap, if you fast-forwarded through all that stuff and just to get to the meat and potatoes, you would realize that we're here to talk about Doom 2016.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is the reboot, remake, whatever, of Doom.
Yes.
Developed by id Software, released by Bethesda. Now, I have to be really careful here because when I say id Software, we're not talking about the id Software that created the original Doom. All those people are gone. We're talking about a new id Software.
Yeah, I believe John Carmack currently is working on a Kickstarter game called Black Box.
Well, John Carmack, of course, was one of the creators and founders and programmers of the original Doom. He very ceremoniously left id Software a few years ago to work for Oculus VR for Facebook.
Right.
Now, let's talk about controversy for a minute, because if you're a hardcore video gamer, you are probably of one of two minds. I think you'd agree. One, you're really, really excited because Doom is a legendary franchise, and you can't wait to see what they've done because there hasn't been a new game in over, oh my goodness, 12 years.
Sure.
Really, 12 years.
12
that's a long
years.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's primary school if you had a baby. That's all the way to college, so
right.
Say goodbye. No, but on the other hand, You're either scratching your head and saying, what the hell is Doom? I've never heard of Doom because I'm a millennial and I play Angry Birds on my phone.
I don't know if you can be involved in video games and not at least have a passing idea of what Doom is, straight up.
Well, let me ask you a question. We've got to the point where video games have progressed to the point where we have our rock stars. We have our aging rock stars. I remember a few years ago, someone was trying to tell me how awesome and rad Rolling Stones was. And I said, Rolling Stones? Who are they? Rolling Stones. I mean, I kind of knew who they were because I grew up around Rolling Stones. But to this person who grew up with the Rolling Stones, the Rolling Stones were legendary. They were amazing. They were pioneers.
Sure.
But to the current generation who's not been sort of weaned at the teat, they probably don't have the same feelings of nostalgia for Rolling Stones.
Right.
And as such...
Yeah, I agree with you completely, which is interesting because we've actually seen the monetization of this sort of hero worship in the form of Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you mentioned a few minutes ago about a Kickstarter project by some Doom people. I believe that was John Romero, actually, and Adrian
Romero,
Carmack.
Romero, that's the one, sorry.
Yeah, John Romero and Adrian Carmack, and they announced a game called Black Room, but just as soon as they announced it, they took it down. It's gone.
Yep.
They canceled it. Woohoo! Now, John Carmack and Adrian, they were original creators of the original Doom, and like the others, they left the company to do other things. And Romero, in particular, used to be a marquee name of all things.
Right.
And he would make first-person shooters. Oh, goodness. What was the name of that one that was terrible?
Daikatana.
Daikatana. Ugh.
Made by Ion Storm. John Romero is about to make you his bitch.
Oh, goodness. And by bitch, we mean female dog.
Yeah, so, absolutely. We're not allowed to say that word these days.
No, I mean, we have to say the alternatives. No, but moving forward, going back to Doom 2016. So we got none of the original creators. And let's be honest here. This is very weird for a video game, from a company like Bethesda. No hype, no commercials, no pre-play, no pre-reviews,
no review codes.
Yes, and we're going to get to this in a second. This game was not reviewed for the press at all.
And you know, don't get me wrong. Like, working for PopZara, we understand that any review material we get is, you know, I wouldn't call it a gift, but it's surprising that being the smaller site that we are, that we get the amount of material that we do. Contrast this with Doom 2016, nobody got review material for this game.
Nobody.
And your immediate thought, and the immediate thought of a lot of people looking into this game, is the reason they didn't send out these review codes is because it's terrible. And that's reasonable. I mean, we saw it before. We saw it with Assassin's Creed Unity. That game didn't have any codes sent out until launch, and the reason was because it was a horrible buggy mess.
Yes.
You see it quite a bit these days, especially with games with this online component. I think The Division had the same issue. Anyway, the weird thing here is that, you know, I mentioned a little bit ago that the multiplayer for Doom is terrible. Terrible is a bit strong, but it's definitely not inspiring. It's not what you want to go to. The campaign of Doom 2016, on the other hand, is fantastic. It's wonderful.
Yes, and we're gonna get to the campaign in a minute here, because I think if you're playing Doom 2016, you're not playing for the multiplayer. You're not playing it for the multiplayer. It
exactly.
is not Quake. It is not Call of Duty.
It's definitely not Doom.
No, let me put it this way. There's been a series of games on the iPhone. You know, I forget the name of the game right now. It was basically a Halo clone. Nova. It was Nova. That offered a shockingly decent first-person experience on your phone. They included multiplayer. You were not playing for the multiplayer.
Yeah.
It was there. It checked the box off. It has it. It's a feature. Ignore it.
And this is coming.
Terrible.
I mean, this is coming from a few years ago. I want to say the last console generation with a 360 and the PS3, when everything had to have multiplayer. Sometimes there were winners. I mean, sometimes this worked out for you. The Assassin's Creed had actually really good multiplayer, surprisingly enough to say. And then sometimes it just didn't. I mean, you'd had games like Fracture, which nobody's heard of because it put a lot of effort into multiplayer. A lot of the budget got split away from the single-player campaign. As a result, you ended up with two lukewarm halves of a lukewarm whole. Nobody cares about the game.
Mm-hmm.
What we see here with Doom is you have a campaign made by id Software. You have multiplayer made by another group. You have cutscenes and story made by a third group.
Yeah, well, what's the adage about too many cooks in the kitchen?
It takes a lot to make a stew.
Well, let me put it this way. Too much pepper, the stew's bad. You're right. This is the game, let's be honest here. Let's be clear. The game has gone through development hell.
Yes.
It's lost most of its lead designers. It had to be rebooted. The reboot itself was rebooted.
The version of Doom 4 that we have now is not remotely like the version of Doom 4 we thought we were going to get. We'll put it that way.
Now, is it the Doom 4 that we need or the Doom 4 that we deserve?
Oh, so the previous version of Doom 4, back when the reboot was first announced, apparently was a lot like Call of Duty, but with demons. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't immediately hate that concept. I like the idea of a military shooter type game with this quote-unquote realism that also incorporates these fantastic elements. But that wouldn't have been Doom. That would have been less Doom than Doom 3, which is saying a lot.
You know, on the surface, the idea of a first-person shooter where you're blasting away demons seems to write itself. It's sort of like a zombie thing. It doesn't take a lot to make it great. It takes very little to make it terrible.
Right.
And I think a lot of us who grew up playing the original Dooms on the PC or one of the console add-ons have always wanted to see that Doom where Doom was displayed on Earth. In fact, the second game was called Hell on Earth.
Right.
But it was just more Mars. More Mars. And I think anyone expecting this game to be any different might be disappointed. But I do want to get into the actual Doom campaign here in a minute. But I want to go back and talk about one thing about multiplayer. Because I think starting with Quake 3 back in the PC, a long time ago, folks, there's been a lot of this attempt to sort of de-emphasize the campaign as though we don't need the campaign. That if everyone's playing the multiplayer, there's no reason to put all this effort into a campaign. Who the hell is going to sit there by themselves? Who's
right.
going to enjoy a campaign? Well, I'll tell you who's going to enjoy it. Most people.
Yeah, most
because
people.
Because that's how most people like your game. The reason Quake 3 was played was because Quake 1 and 2 were great.
Yep.
Multiplayer is great, but it's an addition. And if you jump into a multiplayer only, the first thing you're saying, Corey, we talked about this before the podcast, the first thing you're saying is, if you're new, you're not welcome.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've talked about this before in this podcast, too. I think with Josh and I, we talked about it. We were talking about Black Ops 3. That's a great game. It has a really solid campaign that goes in a lot
yes.
of interesting directions. But the multiplayer, I mean, which is also good, don't get me wrong, but the basic foundation of all these multiplayer games is that when you start, your job is to be what keeps the veteran players playing.
Exactly.
You're there to be killed. You're there to be the meat.
Exactly. And you have to earn your stripes.
Right. So, and is that fun? I don't think it's all that fun. I think a lot of people also agree that it's not all that fun to be the guy who gets killed.
It not everybody comes at these things and plays in the same way. Again, we'll go to Angry Birds or Super Mario or whatever, is that we all take the controls and we all play our separate ways.
Right.
And I think this has been a constant complaint of these cinematic games, is that they've been so shoehorned into linear progression, is that you play and you hit X at the right time. You hit circle at the right time.
You push the action button, yeah.
The action button. You're a walking simulator. You know, and go listen to the podcast that I just did with Grayson about Uncharted 4. The series has done a phenomenal job of sort of breaking that convention and trying to introduce narrative gameplay. Grand Theft Auto 5 and Grand Theft Auto 4 have done yeoman's work doing that as well. Doom is not like that. Doom is straightforward. Doom is, you're entering a room with a bunch of monsters, kill them all, and go forward.
There are points where you push an action button, but it's pretty obviously labeled. You can't really miss it. The majority of your game is not spent solving puzzles or thinking about stuff or reading story. It's shooting things. It's Doom.
There is a fun scene at the beginning of the new Doom campaign, and I kind of giggled to myself when the character's starting to go into this, you know, typical diatribe. I'm going to conquer the world. And you just take the TV and throw it away.
Yeah. You just punch, or like the title card of the game is the your villain character going on in this monologue. Your dude gets tired of it, just punches the screen open.
I love that.
And that's Doom.
That's Doom. Now let's talk about the campaign here, because the worst thing in the world would be if they had released this game without a campaign, only multiplayer.
That would have been it. There would have been no more Doom.
Yeah, it would have been gone. Goodbye. Because we would, again, the Rolling Stones. You know, we want you to sing the hits, but if you can't sing the hits, then go away, which is a sad, tragic thing. And before we get into the campaign, one last analogy to rock stars. You cannot always expect the new generation to accept the old generation's favorites.
Sure.
If you have someone like Madonna or U2 or Bruce Springsteen or these people that somehow are able to stay relevant, it's up to them to stay relevant. It's up to them to sort of rebirth themselves and stay focused on this world. Otherwise, it's just nostalgia.
Right. This applies to gaming, too. I mean, there's games that come out now that would have been laughed at back when I was a kid or back when you were a kid. Like these narrative-heavy games with no actual gameplay, like Firewatch. We would have looked at that like, what the hell is this? Why did anybody bring this out? Never make games again. Whereas these days, it's seen as like some sort of victory for video games that a game like this can come out.
Yes.
And games like Doom, on the other hand, are looked down upon for being dumb. That's just that word, straight up, dumb.
Yes, and Corey, that is why I think we have not seen any progression for this game, because I think the commercial minds that are all a hive mind, so to speak, that say, well, in order to release a game in 2016, it's going to need this, and it's going to need this, and it's going to need this, and it's going to need this. I don't think any of those checks are gameplay. I think you're looking at cinematics, you're looking at immersion in the culture, you're looking at voice actors, you're looking at all this. But when it comes to pure gameplay, I don't think pure gameplay has been a prerequisite or even a focus of a lot of modern games.
Sure.
I think it's an after effect. Right. And that's why you see you're a classic game. You play those visual novels to death.
Right.
There's not a lot of gameplay there.
There's no gameplay. I mean, they're not even games. You read them.
Yeah, you read them. And that's a type of game. But what I mean, though, is that you could do that on a template. You could actually have a visual novel maker and just pump them out, which they probably do.
That does exist. It's called Renpy.
Which they probably do. And to be fair, the original Doom had level editors where you could make your own levels, and you could play them. How much fun, right?
Right.
But when it comes to these games, I don't think that gameplay is a prerequisite. And I think, more important, if you have templates like Call of Duty, which is – I'm on record. I love Call of Duty. And for anybody who wonders why Call of Duty is so popular, it's because every game is really good.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And people are like, oh, Call of Duty's terrible. Most of it's like trailer on YouTube, blah, blah, blah. Anybody who says that stuff has never played a Call of Duty game.
Yeah, they've been remarkably better in the last couple of years.
Like, Black Ops 3 is amazing. And the story
goes
in ways you wouldn't expect. I mean, that's what everybody says about Call of Duty, is that they're all the same. That's not the case with Black Ops 3.
People who say Call of Duty's all the same have stopped playing.
Yeah.
You want all the same? You play Battlefield. No, but Battlefield 1.
Battlefield Hardline was different, too. I mean, these quote-unquote dumb first-person shooter games are not all identical, and they actually do a lot of interesting things. I mean, these games don't get this kind of budget and pump out something terrible, generally speaking.
At the end of the day, what makes Call of Duty so memorable and great is the fact that it realizes what it is. It's a Call of Duty game, and it realizes what is necessary. It's basically an interactive Michael Bay movie.
Right.
And it does it very, very, very well. And you could say this about a number of things, and you could scratch your head and say, why are they so popular? I don't get it. Well, start playing again. And to those people who would play Doom, for example, play Doom. And I want to contrast this with Uncharted, which again I talked about. Uncharted was ceremoniously heralded as a masterpiece. It's the greatest interactive storytelling, 10 out of 10, great, wonderful. Yeah, it's a great game and everything. It's exactly what you expect. But let's not talk – well, we can still like Doom too.
Right.
You can like both. The question is that – and I think this is true, Corey – that not everybody's going to like Doom. I think it's going to be very divisive because it is a gameplay-laden game.
It is. There is a plot. There is flavor text to read. There are buttons to push. 99% of this is optional. You can ignore it all,
yes.
And you're missing nothing.
Yes, and a lot of people have credited to their games like Metroid as pioneering this sort of, you know, interactive narratives where it's optional storytelling. But the fact of the matter is you're not here for the story. You're here for the gameplay. And let's talk about Doom 2016, finally. Now, you like the game.
I did. I thought it was fantastic.
I like the game.
Sure. And I mean, I think we can both agree that the reason we like the game is because it really nails the Doom gameplay style. The shooting, the weapons, the monsters, it all feels amazing.
Yes.
Which is interesting, too, because we're coming from Fallout 4 from Bethesda, which Fallout 4 does a lot of things right. Shooting isn't really one of them. You don't play Fallout 3 or Fallout 4 for the combat.
Now, let's go back to the gameplay of Doom for a second here, because in my view, that's all it is. It's a gameplay
sure.
game. It's got fancy graphics and everything. Now, I'm playing on the PlayStation 4. You're playing on the PC.
Yes.
From all accounts, it's exactly the same. It's very silky smooth. It's extremely slick, extremely fast. And I think the reason is because, I'm sorry to say, it's not that graphically impressive. I mean, it looks good. It looks smooth. But the textures are blocky. The gameplay is so slick, so smooth. There's not a lot going on in the background. It's adequate. It's an adequate graphical presentation. Would you agree?
A lot like Doom 3. Once the hardware needed to run it was pretty common. Doom 3 didn't look that amazing. It was very plasticized. They focused a lot on their lighting engine as opposed to the models and the textures. But it was smooth. I mean, it ran well, and a Doom
yes.
game has to.
That's all. I mean, that's necessary. I mean, it has to run well.
You have to be willing to sacrifice graphics or gameplay to make a decent Doom game, and that's what they did. I don't think it looks bad. It's not going to be number one on everybody's list, but it plays amazingly.
I would say this. It's one of those period things where instead of saying it's pretty bad, I would say it's pretty, period, bad, period. There are moments where it's really beautiful and it's fun to look at, and technologically speaking, it hits all the buttons. Artistically, it's not very interesting, I'll be honest with you.
It's Doom. You don't play Doom for your new and impressive-looking monsters or weapons.
Well, the original Doom had very varied sprites, which a lot of them became popular. And to be fair, this new Doom game doesn't have that artistic sort of expression. And had I been involved with it, I would have demanded, make the monsters a little more different. But the fact is, they're there on the screen. It's very quick. It's very fast. The first time I entered a level, and I didn't have to listen to some story, and I didn't have to go and talk to scientists and get, basically the Halo campaign thing.
Yeah.
Like, I went into a room, and there's a bunch of monsters. And I said to myself, wow, that's interesting. Level 1 has more monsters in it than all the Doom game, the other Doom game had entirely.
Yeah.
And all I had to do was kill the monster. That's interesting. I was expecting. My brain was like, what do I have to do? Who do I have to talk to? No, I just kill the monsters. And there's like 50 of them. That's Doom. And then you shoot the barrel. That's Doom. And you pick up the shards. That's Doom. You pick up the health. That's Doom.
The shards and the health and the armor are little pickups. They float in the air. You can just walk up and pick them up. It's not explained why. There's no deep and involving sci-fi garble reason why. They're just there because
it's
Doom.
And of course, if you enter the room and you hit the barrel at the right point, you blow them all up.
And don't get me wrong, little things like that, that's not what makes or breaks a game. I mean, a lot of really hardcore people who play video games will act like they're these connoisseurs and, tiny little hints of flavor can make an effect like that.
Goodbye.
And if the stuff did float in the air and the barrels weren't there, it wouldn't make this a bad game. But the fact that they are does help.
Yeah, and let's go back to this for a second there. In the first level, did you find the little doll?
Yeah. I mean, there's dolls all over the place. You pick them up, it plays a little snippet of the E1, M1 music. Or sorry, Episode 1, Mission 1, so it's supposed to be more inclusive, you know what I'm saying?
Blah, blah, blah. Well, I want to make a comparison to Star Wars here, because a lot of people have said Star Wars. Now, when Star Wars The Force Awakens came out last year, there was no previews, there was no screenings. In the movie world, that typically means your movie's a bomb. It's a turd, because we don't want bad reviews.
Star Wars actually comes out, and lo and behold, it's also amazing, much like Doom.
The reason Star Wars didn't have any reviews is because they didn't want spoilers. And I think the movie was well received. It became the third highest grossing movie of all time.
Given that one big spoiler in Star Wars, it does make sense.
Yes, but once you've seen the movie, it's irrelevant.
Right.
It's like Empire Strikes Back. Now, here's the thing, though. Star Wars The Force Awakens, with the exception of John Williams and Lawrence Kasdan, was not made by the birther of Star Wars. George Lucas had very little to do with it, if anything. Doom is the same way. The last time we saw Doom by the original creators, it was disappointing. And I think a lot of people would agree that George Lucas's prequels were not that thrilling.
And I think this kind of does some damage to the whole auteur theory, the idea that a work is directly related to its creator in such a way that you can't, you know, disentangle the two. Like, we'll use an example from last year. Last year, there was this big row with Hideo Kojima leaving Konami, and everybody was like, oh no, there'll never be another Metal Gear game, blah, blah, blah. That's a load of crap. We've seen time and time again that if somebody, it doesn't have to be the creator, understands what makes a work work, they can make more of that. And we see that here with Doom.
I would argue that Doom 2016 is a better product out of the box than Doom 3 ever was.
Absolutely.
In any form.
Not even any question.
And I think at some point when you talk about the auteur, you say to yourself, well, what point do they go beyond? It's completely up to Carmack. It's completely up to these people to do whatever they want with their own project. They created it. They're allowed to do whatever they want. They're allowed to screw it up.
Right.
They are allowed to do whatever they want. However, those people seeking that experience are also allowed to do whatever they want. They're allowed to buy it, and they're allowed not to buy it.
Yes.
You know, you're a big book fan. You and I have talked about one of our favorite mutual authors, Haruki Murakami.
Yes.
Not every book he does is the Wind-Up Bird Chronicle.
Right, exactly. Not everything that he makes is amazing. He tends to make good stuff, but I also think that people could write in the style of Murakami and still manage it. He's not the exclusive owner of the way that he writes.
No, of course not. In fact, the whole I would argue that the whole point of inspiration is to, quote-unquote, inspire other people to do their own projects.
Right.
And when the first level of Doom, and clearly we've gone beyond the first level, but we're just talking about the first level because the first level is much like every other level in the game.
Yeah, it's non-stop carnage. I mean, and everything they add on top of the basic Doom gameplay, run around and shoot monsters, is there to enhance that gameplay. For instance, your weapons. Your weapons have two upgrades you can get. You can pick from them. You can choose them both if you want. And it's very simple. It's straightforward. Mm-hmm. Since you don't need to reload in Doom, your reload button instead switches your weapon modification.
Yes, and there are modern flourishes. There's weapon upgrades. There's this and that. And I don't particularly care for them. I know you like them. The cinematic death where you run up to them and pull them apart and punch them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that stuff is cool. But the important thing is that none of it gets in the way.
And you don't need to do it.
Yes.
You don't need to do it.
You can disable it if you want. You can turn off the cinematic kills.
Well, they're there for a reason, to save ammo.
And to give you health back.
Because in the original game, you did punch people. You know, you did push, push.
Oh, my God. Like, the Berserk pack is back in Doom 2016, and it's so cool.
No, the game, for what the game lacks in cinematics, for what the game lacks in artistic endeavors, it more than makes up for in pure, forgive the pun, rage. And, you know, speaking of Rage, Rage was another game that we've talked about extensively here that did not live up to what they expected because it didn't have a focus for what it was. And
right.
I think you're one of the few people I've ever met that actually likes the game.
I think Rage was actually pretty decent. I think they vastly, vastly overhyped Rage. Rage is one of the first victims of this situation that we're in now. And this happened to Watch Dogs, this happened to Titanfall, it also happened to Rage, where, you know, we're going to hype up this game huge before launch. This is going to be the next big thing because we say it is. So Rage had a mobile app. It got cover stories in all these gaming magazines. It made a big deal about a story that actually wasn't there.
Well, I want to say real quick, sorry, because this is my experience. I want to say that I have been taken off many lists as a press person, mm-hmm. because of an article that I wrote following Rage's introduction in 2010. I was at E3 in 2010 where Rage was there, or so to speak, and Rage was called the game of the show. Rage was the greatest thing in the world. Rage is great. It's going to be great. And the problem is Rage really wasn't there. Nobody really played it. They broke all the conventions to push this game, and they pushed, and the game couldn't possibly live up to this hype. It couldn't possibly, and it collapsed, and I would actually say it brought down its software as a true development studio. And I think you're exactly right that one of the reasons we don't see any hype for Doom is because of the fallout, literally the fallout.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for instance,
Rage.
You know, people say Watch Dogs is this awful, terrible game. Ubisoft is the worst publisher ever. If you play Watch Dogs, it's not. It's basically Assassin's Creed in a modern setting.
Yeah.
Watch Dogs is not a bad game. People are angry because they saw Watch Dogs being promoted to them as the next big thing. It's not. It's a good game. It's a solid 7 to 8. You know, you can do worse than spending a weekend playing a solid 7 to 8.
You know, it's funny, though, because it almost seems in this day and age that people who enjoy video games are not allowed to just enjoy them organically.
Yeah, you have to be involved with like the community. You have to be part of this greater gaming landscape. And I don't believe in that, to be honest. I think you can sit down and you can love the shit out of a game like Doom 2016 that doesn't really do anything to advance games as a whole. It's just a really good game.
But you see, that's where I disagree. I think games like Doom 2016 do advance gaming as a whole because it occupies a space that has been sorely overlooked. That is the average game. Hmm. See, not everything needs to be a blockbuster. We start to see this in Hollywood too, where Hollywood sings, "Oh, I can only make money if I invest $200 million in this superhero movie," and I invest $200 million, and it doesn't work. Look at Batman versus Superman.
Batman versus Superman, which again, we see the same thing as we did with like Watch Dogs and Titanfall. They played it up. This is going to be a great movie. Go and get your cups from Taco Bell, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it's,
then
it's,
it comes out, and it's just it doesn't bomb, but critically, it's not good. It's bad.
Well, I want to go back to Batman. We'll wrap this up here in a second, but I want to go back to Batman for a second because, you know, the movie has its detractors, and how does this relate to Doom? Well, you look at Marvel, for example. Marvel had a 10-year plan where they introduced one movie, you know, the Hulk or Iron Man, and the plan was to slowly sort of marinate other characters into it, and the result was this orgasm of superheroes in Captain America: Civil War, and you think to yourself, how can a movie with 500 superheroes possibly be any good? Well, because they marinated it, they slow roasted it,
right?
And it came out. Whereas Batman versus Superman, it's one movie and they overstuffed the turkey.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you watch it and you're like, instead of feeling rewarded for being a fan all this time, you're obligated to know who these characters are. I mean, you know who Batman and Superman are, right? Of course,
right.
Although you may not recognize Batman and Superman in
you know,
this
and,
movie.
And contrast that with a movie like, you know, you've got Batman and Superman, where you're expected to know even the main characters, the lesser characters, and the backstories around everybody. Contrast that with a movie like Deadpool. Deadpool, for what it's worth, still a relatively lesser-known character.
Yes, by far.
Very lesser-known characters like Negasonic Teenage Warhead in the Deadpool movie, who are still made out to be interesting. Like, you care about these characters. Well, maybe not care is not the right term, but they're interesting. It's a good film.
But you come to them. You're not obligated to know who these characters are, and Deadpool as a movie makes that known. It makes it known that it's a cheap superhero movie that wasn't given a lot of love.
Yeah,
and lo and behold, organically people end up loving it. You know, they loved it. And in fact, it grossed more money than Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, I mean, it knocked it out of the park. It was apparently a very good film.
Screw it up. They'll screw it up because now that it's a big hit, it's obligated to be great.
Right, and then it. You know, tying this all back to Doom 2016, I think, you know, I want to step back what I said earlier about it not being relevant to the gaming landscape. I think what it does for gaming is it shows that not everything has to be this big cultural, this cultural icon. You know, one of our writers, Josh, he and I have very, very different views on this particular aspect of things. He writes about games like This War of Mine.
Yes.
And he says, oh, games have finally grown up. You know, on the other hand, I'll write about games like Sunset Overdrive and say, thank God they haven't. Because in my view, we're reaching this point where we have an entire generation of people who've grown up playing video games and feel desperately required to prove that they're not a waste of time. Doom doesn't make any strides toward that. It doesn't try to say, you know, this is going to enlighten you. This is as good as reading a book, yada, yada, yada. It says, look, you wanted to play Doom. Here's Doom. Have fun.
I don't think it's a throwback. And to conclude this, I don't think that it's a disparaging remark to say this, to say, oh, Doom isn't progressive in any way. It doesn't have these cinematic trappings. It doesn't need to be.
That's the thing.
Exactly. And in fact, the game is enhanced by not having that crap.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It's like if I was playing Super Mario and I needed to interact with characters, if I needed to and I needed to do this, it takes the focus away from the jumping. I wouldn't enjoy it very much. Unless it's a Mario RPG, then I'll enjoy it like hell.
Right, you know, those are actually pretty good, like almost without question.
Yes, but those are not jumping is not the focus of Mario RPG.
Sure.
But when it comes to Doom, though, I think for all those people that have been on the fence, for all those people, let's be clear, I think, Corey, you and I would agree, it is not a masterpiece in any way, shape, or form.
Sure.
It is not a cinematic opus.
Absolutely.
It does not innovate in any way, shape, or form
It adds nothing to the cultural landscape of anything.
And you know what? God bless it for doing none of that.
I say the same thing about Sunset Overdrive, which is also a great game.
You know what? Sometimes at the end of the day, all you want to do is push start and play the damn game.
Yep.
And Doom does that. You will not. It will not enlighten you. It will not make you a better human being. If anybody watches it, they'll probably have worse thoughts about you. But smirk to yourself and say, whatevs.
And let's
drink
some
Mountain Dew.
Let's be completely honest here. If it takes a video game to make you a better human being, maybe you weren't that great to begin with.
Well, if you're going to hell, enjoy the ride.
Yep.
And Doom is one hell of a ride.
Absolutely.
And with that, you have been listening to the Pop Zara podcast. Again, this is your host, Nathan Evans, and my fellow hell colleague, Corey Gallagher, talking about Doom 2016 from Bethesda. You probably didn't read any reviews. You probably didn't see any hype. You probably didn't buy the Happy Meal. And most likely, you did not buy the gamer fuel. You did not buy the points. You did not see any of the tie-ins. You know what? Awesome. Go play the game because it's pretty damn good.
Do you know why you're going to hell managing editor Nathan Evans?
I can guess why, Corey.
Because you pronounced my name wrong.
I pronounced it wrong on purpose. So go to hell and enjoy the ride.